Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here, sitting across from me
is Mike Cosentino, and yes, we are. We prior to going on the air, we will have to tone down our little argument. We don't argue. Beloved co-hosts don't argue. We have discussions, and today, of course, we're talking about what has become Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act. Again, as a matter of fact,
we're talking about it because it is so important. Because it's a very, very large and very, very important program. And for many of you out there, it's going to deliver tremendous benefit. It's an insurance program. So,
well, this is our third show.
If you look at a particular individual, so if I'm a Joe Blow, it may or may not help me a lot. First, if I have employer insurance, it doesn't affect anything. All the controversy you've seen about on the air is about 5% of the people who have insurance in the United States. The rest of the people either have Medicare, Medicaid, they have employer-based insurance, they have military-based insurance. But the 5% who have individual insurance and have to go on the website and get insurance for themselves, that's where the problem's been. If you look at it as an individual, if you're a young, healthy individual and you never have to see a doctor in your whole life, having insurance has not been necessarily good for you. If you have a serious medical problem, all these changes, all of these forms are going to highly benefit you. But if you look beyond your individual situation to that of your family, to that of your friends, and that of your community, an insurance that covers everybody well is a huge, huge boon to our society.
This is our third show on this topic, which kind of underscores what Steve said about the importance and the change in American culture anyway. And of course, I believe Steve believes about in single payer. We think Canada and the UK got the right idea. And most, civilized or, first world countries in the world got the right idea with single payer healthcare. Certainly, we have single payer healthcare. It's called Medicare. It works very, very well according to the people that are on it. But with this Affordable Health Care Act, involved the private, insurance industry, who has a huge stake in this, by the way. And now we're seeing stuff roll out now about, all kinds of information from the insurance industry that is really, as far as I'm concerned, better information or at least more helpful information than the administration was putting out. But, our argument before we went on the air was about, I believe the president has taken a ton of crap for a slow website. This is all he's really guilty of, is a slow website.
Well, the higher you are up the chain of command, the least you're going to know about what's happening on the ground. That's fundamental. So the people who know that there's going to be tremendous problems with the website are the people working for the government. This is the whole process of setting up the website has been hired out to a private company. Those are the people who know the most. That information about how catastrophically dysfunctional the website was going to be on its opening, and I do agree with Mike, it's all going to be fixed. I mean, it is a website problem, which if you worked like in designing websites like I did in the early days, everybody had website problems. You go on Sony, and Sony would have website problems. The banks now, if my bank closes down the website every once in a while to redo everything. So you're looking at a really terrible opening of a website. So I think my take on it is a little different from Mike, and let me give you a quick thing. I believe that the people in the administration, the technology officers down in the Department of Health and Human Services in Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security area, failed to be able to pick the right company to build the website. They hired someone who couldn't really do it. And if you've worked in these situations, when managers don't understand the technology, they do it by command. You have to have something done by X. You have to have Y by X. And if you can do it and you're just pressured, if you're Steve Jobs and you have the brightest guys in the country and you say, would they say, we're going to get that iPad out in 6 months, and he says, do it in three, you have a chance. But if you can't do it, all this command pressure, all this demand just means that you go, you don't tell people how bad the situation is.
Well, certainly.
And that's what didn't get passed up.
Yeah, the Republicans, as far as I'm concerned, are certainly a great example of how the best and the brightest no longer go into government, at least on a wholesale.
One reason they hire private companies, folks, is high technology officers, people who can really do high technology well, are very, very expensive. And so if they included them in the structure of the government, in the government overlooking things, it would be very expensive, and they would have to explain to, you know, 10 levels of Congress, and 5 congressional committees why they're paying this guy $200,000 or $300,000 a year more than they're paying the president. But that's how you get it. So what you do is you farm out your technology to a private corporation that can pay people supposedly whatever they need to get the right guys to do the job.
Yeah. Halliburton made $17 billion on the Iraqi war. So we know about farming stuff out, and then private corporations making money. It's the American way, and certainly works really well. But the important question is will the ACA, or is the ACA, we can really have to say will it, is it saving money? And the answer is a resounding yes across the board. The ACA is doing exactly what it was designed to do. It's bringing down health care costs that were out of control.
And it's delivering a lot better health care. Where I work, there's these constant mimeographed offerings of medical insurance.
I want to make sure that there was a headline in the Republic yesterday that Blue Cross Blue Shield has just reinstated 55,000 policies in Arizona, just Arizona. I'm sure they've done in other states, but this is information just for Arizona. 55,000 policies have been reinstated.
We should talk about that, Mike.
Even though they don't meet ACA standards. Part of the problem people got their plans canceled was because they were crappy plans. Now, you can't tell somebody their insurance plan is crap. I found that out, by the way, down at the coffee shop. You can't say, well, your plan got canceled because it wasn't very good insurance. And people love their insurance like they love their elementary school. You know, no matter how lousy it was or may have been, they love their insurance plan.
ACA's, the Obamacare, set minimum standards for insurance plan.
Yeah.
Many of the plans, particularly the individuals bought for themselves, were less expensive, and they have all kinds of hidden limitations. So there's until recently you could have a limitation to lifetime cost. And say it said $500,000, and you think to yourself, well, I'm never going to spend $500,000 on doctors and medicine. You get a serious illness that you're going to go over the top, your insurance is going to stop paying. They had yearly maximums. They have a tremendous amount of uncovered procedures and stuff that's very, very hard to see in the plan. So what's being offered by the ACA are basically better plans. And if you have one of these,
mandated.
Yes. And they're going to be, and they're going to be clear. But I think Mike and I disagree a lot about this, and I think there's a lot of room for discussion. But I think one of the things we don't disagree with is that the whole ACA Obamacare was a compromise 4 or 5 different ways. It wasn't what basically Democrats like ourselves wanted. It wasn't what conservatives wanted. And I think what's interesting, I think Mike would agree with me, is that if they had passed single payer, right, which would be basically extending Medicare down for everybody, the Republicans would have claimed it was socialized medicine, just like taking the conservative think tank plan and turning that into Obamacare based on something that a Republican governor had done in Massachusetts.
Where you and
Republicans say exactly the same thing, whatever you do.
Where you and I, yes, true. That's true. Like I say, attacking the Romney plan, which is what they made national, is crazy for them to do. But you know, Obama had his name on it, so that's why they attacked it. No.
Actually, of course, he didn't have his name on it. That's a real success of the Republican Party is to change the name from ACA that everybody, you don't even recognize, folks. How many of you recognize when we refer to the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, which is what it's actually called, as opposed to when we refer to it as Obamacare?
The Democrats losing one more linguistic argument is not news. I mean, this happens like on a daily basis. The Republicans deserve huge congratulations for sabotaging the whole affordable health care idea and Obamacare. So, they deserve congratulations. But where you and I agree is the 29 million people that are going to get insurance that didn't have it, 5 million of them being children, American children, that are going to have insurance as a result of the ACA. And where you and I agree is that insurance costs are going to bounce around, but event they are going down, and the most important thing of all is that healthcare costs will go down. We are going to have somebody on who is on the board of our local hospital that's going to talk about the direct impact. So this isn't just two political wonks theorizing here about healthcare. We got a guy that's going to tell us how it works for doctors and a hospital as soon as he gets here.
This is one of the most important things that the president has done, introducing this. And I just wanted to give you a little bit of statistics about health care. 49% of the people in the country are covered by employer-based health insurance. Largely, that is not going to change. 29% are covered by Medicare, Medicaid, military coverage. 16% are uninsured. And 5% of the people have individually purchased insurance. And the people who are having problems with their plan are the 5%. And this is a big country, so that's between 10 and 15 million people. Those are the people who are having the most problem with having they're being told that their plans are no good and that they have to get a new plan.
Yeah, well, you know, that's...
But so get a perspective on it and understand that we hate to tell you this, that a lot of people, particularly if you have to buy individual insurance, have gotten plans that are not very good. And so part of being told that your plan is not very good is not much fun, but it is,
America doesn't like statistics. We like individual stuff. So if there's one guy somewhere who lost his health insurance, we make policy according to the anecdote, but we are, you know, so that's wisely or unwisely, very often unwisely, but we want to see how you and I have been theorizing a little bit. We want to talk about how it actually applies or actually looks to a hospital and maybe to doctors. We have a guest here this morning. We have Jim Ledbetter, who's been on our show before. This is our third show on affordable health care, on Obamacare. And you listened to the last two shows, and we've decided that they were good, Jim. So what do you got? Let's introduce yourself and tell us why we invited you here this morning.
Well, good morning, and I want to congratulate you guys on your expanded show. It starts at 8:15 now, not 8:30, and I was delusional about the time it was supposed to start, so my apologies for walking in just before 8:30. I've been serving on the Northern Arizona Healthcare Board now since 1999, and the Northern Arizona Healthcare, as you probably know, includes Flagstaff Medical Center. It includes operationally the Little Colorado Medical Center, which is now the Winslow Medical Center to some of us, but Little Colorado River Medical Center, Sedona Medical Center, and Verde Valley Medical Center. And basically, that's the healthcare organization providing most of the healthcare throughout Northern Arizona. And a good significant portion of my practice also involves representing other hospitals as well. And so I have some familiarity with what's happening, what it looks like is going to be coming down the line in terms of the adoption of the Affordable Care Act and its impact locally. Already, it's had a good impact in terms of the insurability of children or even young adults through the age of 26. For Flagstaff Medical Center in particular, that's that population at NAU, which oftentimes didn't have any insurance. So young people involved in auto accidents, those type of things, they're now getting good coverage.
My son would have been off his medical insurance when he turned 22. It's now 26. Personally benefited our family by thousands of bucks over the last 3 or 4 years.
Yes, and that is a good thing. So that's been a great thing because many people don't understand that hospitals must provide care. For years, the federal government has had what's called the Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act, EMTALA. And under EMTALA, anyone who walks through the door of an emergency room gets treatment, period.
Whether they pay or not.
Correct. Whether they have the ability to pay or not, they receive the treatment. And so for many years, the American system has had what I would call a hidden tax, meaning cost to go to an emergency room is very, very high. The reason that's very high is because there are many people who come to the emergency room historically, prior to the Affordable Care Act, who are uninsured and had no ability to pay. That's why when you come to an emergency room, say, and you get a rabies shot, it could cost you hundreds of dollars. And that's true universally in American healthcare. Why is that? Is that the cost? No. That's taking a hidden tax, essentially, and deferring the cost of that healthcare back to those who have the ability to pay for the healthcare. So that's been going on.
Do you have a figure for how much it is a year that, say, Verde Valley Medical Center loses by people not having insurance?
Oh, yes, it's significant. It is in the 20s and 30s and 40s of millions of dollars, and it's a variable every year. Many of you probably know Arizona made the decision not to insure the childless adult who is poor any longer. For those of us in healthcare, that's a strange decision. Just recently, a current governor of Oregon and I were sitting down, and he said, "That's bizarre." He's a medical physician. He said, I just can't believe that. You do not insure in Arizona the childless adult. The Affordable Care Act will do that. We'll bring them in under Medicaid. Our version of Medicaid in Arizona, as everyone knows, is ACCESS, the Arizona Healthcare Cost Containment System. So we look at quarterly losses ranging over $5 million for those individuals who come in needing health care, who are the childless adult, who are uninsured. They're uninsured currently in Arizona. ACCESS doesn't reach them. Give you guys a great tangible example, which makes everyone scratch their head. We had a young Native American client that we represented recently who needed a kidney. On her 18th birthday in Arizona, the kidney match was located. On her 18th birthday, she was declined for the transplant.
Because she was an adult.
Because she had become an adult. So life-saving medical care is, in fact, denied to people, and it happens. And, you know, I'm pretty patriotic. When that happens in the United States, I scratch my head. And luckily, there were some organizations that were willing to, we relocated her to New Mexico. And she received her kidney transplant in New Mexico successfully, and she's doing fine.
That's luck.
It's luck and a lot of work.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, right.
And a bit of a tragedy, but those things happen. And it's fascinating.
What happens when I come into the hospital in my and the charges are X amount of money, but my insurance doesn't cover anything like that amount of money, and the insurance pays one third of what it costs. And then you send me a bill for two thirds and I don't pay it. How do you calculate that into your, it happens. I know people who have no resources, who turn themselves into the emergency room, knowing they're never going to be able to pay for the charges, knowing that the hospitals are going to get stuck with it. But if you're seriously ill, what choice do you have?
What
choice do you think you have?
Good point. Now, doctors, nurses, they believe in treatment, and you're going to get the treatment you need, irrespective of your ability to pay. And what just happens there in that scenario is the person can try to make some payment arrangements, but frequently the ability to pay just isn't there. So what ends up happening is that cost is written off as bad debt. That bad debt is significant every year, and in pricing then going forward in upcoming years, the cost for delivery of health care increases. Many folks just don't understand that ACCESS, for example, only covers 50% of the cost of delivery of health care on average. So I'll say that again. It's only 50% of the cost of delivery of health care as it is now. So that means someone even insured with ACCESS who's getting that payment from ACCESS, the hospital is losing about 50 cents on the dollar for delivering of that health care. So that causes the private insurance costs and the private payer costs for an individual to go up. And that's how those costs are offset currently.
$15,000 for a sprained ankle?
It could be. It depends on the treatment you receive. CAT scans, MRIs, all those things are very, very expensive. And the cost
more than a spring bag.
Correct. And, you know, it's so important in what doctors want to do, and we can't begrudge them that. They want to make sure they found out what's going on, and they give the proper care and treatment to any individual who walks through the door.
If you didn't have the law that said that you had to treat anyone who comes to an emergency room, you'd have people dying in front of the hospital, right on the street, right in front of the place, right? I mean, there's no alternative to that rule of treating people, because the alternative would turn us into, I don't know, not Somalia, but I mean, a really, 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 really underserved, unorganized, and cruel place.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. I doubt it, though, insofar as I just don't foresee any physician not rendering care, any nurse not rendering care. I mean, caregivers are caregivers, and, you know, what the heart that beats in their chest is, you know, really desires to render as much care as possible.
So you think if there wasn't a law saying that you had to treat people who show up at the emergency, you think all your doctors and nurses would do it anyway?
Largely so. Yeah. Most would.
So how do they feel? You spend a lot of time with doctors and nurses. How do they feel about, do they reveal how they feel? Do they know how they feel about Obamacare, affordable health care?
You know, changes change, and a lot of people perceive and are concerned about change. Like, for example, those people who are 65 and older, many of them are writing comments discussing how Obamacare is affecting them, or the Affordable Care Act, depending on which side of the line you want to characterize the act itself. And the truth is, a 65-year-old person's better off because, first of all, they're under Medicare. It doesn't impact them. It does benefit them, however, in terms of preventative care is now covered, and also the donut hole. That where you spend so much money on your pharmaceuticals, you get to a point in time once you've spent that much money, then there's no coverage additionally for a point in time until you go past that additional expending, then you get additional coverage. That donut hole is closing.
As a result of affordable health care.
Correct. The Affordable Care Act closes the donut hole. I mean, so the 65 and older person is far better off.
It's done a whole spectrum of things, folks, that don't have anything to do with the current controversy over the website of people getting insurance. It's done it, and it's done it in such a way as to, I don't think it even gets noticed. There's no publicity about the sort of things that Jim's talking about. And so I think people don't know whether it affects them or not, and they have no idea it's affected them positively, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, but truth be known, I was listening to the show as I was coming over because Mike had called me and said, we started 850. And so listening to the show, there will be people who will pay more money. Okay, they'll be paying more money through taxes because this is increasing the amount of health care that's being delivered to people. And one of the things that's perplexing to me, the United States, and in terms of life expectancy, is no longer dramatically ahead of first world nations. In terms of delivery of basic, good, preventative health care maintenance type things, the United States is lagging. This will hopefully change that. It should change life expectancies. But folks who have good incomes, who are in small businesses with good income, will likely be paying higher and more money for insurance. That's what I believe. Now, folks smarter than me have argued to the contrary, but we're going to be delivering more health care, so the cost of that is going to be borne by someone.
Let me ask you about a specific case. Did you see the headline in the Republic? Blue Cross Blue Shield just reinstated 55,000 plans that they had canceled. What's up with that?
Well, there's a lot of uncertainty, and the uncertainty in the market has caused some hasty decisions to be made by carriers. I think you guys described some canceled plans as those plans which are crappy plans, and I'm quoting you. And the truth is they are crappy plans, and that's why they were canceled. And folks who haven't relied upon the plan yet haven't experienced the fact that there are caps. We have a child. He's our gifted son. He's scheduled to graduate from the university in California University in May.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Three of them are graduating at once. I'm going to have a huge pay raise when all three graduate from the university at the same time. But
time for a vacation in the Bahamas.
But at four months, he had already extinguished his lifetime care that was available to him under a Cigna plan in those days. He had had a brain tumor, and the cost of taking care of that, the post-treatment, content, all of those things, at 4 months of age, he had already hit the $2 million mark. Under the Affordable Care Act, families won't be expected to bear that expense beyond exhausting their policy. That cap on the policy is gone. Pre-existing conditions, gone.
By the way, I learned the other day, and correct me if I'm wrong, that this isn't like some sort of national law, that if you are participating in affordable health care, then you have the pre-existing condition protection. If you are not participating, then you do not have the pre-existing. Is this true?
No, it's going to extend to everybody. The law is you cannot exclude people because of a plea. You cannot write, if it is an insurance company, shortly, I think it's happening this year. First it happened for children, I think, in 2011. Now it's happening for everybody. You cannot write a policy and sell a policy that's based on the kind of things that Jim's talking about. Pre-existing condition. You cannot write a policy that has a lifetime limit, just as Jim's talking about. Someone gets leukemia, they go through $1 million in no time at all.
Imagine
insurance
that.
Is always about the individual and the community. It's not, if you have healthy, if you never see a doctor your whole life, as we were talking about earlier, it's not going to benefit you, but it'll benefit your mother and your father and your grandfather.
Imagine
that.
I heard some misinformation about the Affordable Health Care Plan. Isn't that, it's just shocking.
It's an extremely complicated plan. It's a plan that was based on the old American system of compromise. Liberals like Mike and I and people on the left were not happy with the way it was done. People on the far right were not happy. It was a compromise, extremely complex compromise. There's a lot of stuff in it, folks, that I think will be, in the end, very useful. There are a lot of studies coming in terms of the economic use of policies. There are lots of research. There's a huge shift, and I think Jim would agree, toward preventive care. In Medicare, you no longer have to pay anything for, and there's no copayment for getting a checkup. And the checkup has a whole series of things, and it's like, I don't know, 11 that cover everybody. For women, there's more. For children, there's still more. And these are procedures and things. And there's counseling on things that cost Americans a tremendous amount of dollars. Obesity, alcoholism, drug abuse. All the stuff is built in. In the long run, I think there's going to be more savings than you can quantify now. Quantify means you can calculate it. But I think a lot of things that are sort of hidden in the plan that'll kick in mostly next year are going to save us money. But it's not something you can say how much money, because you're studying stuff to see if you can figure out how to do it better. How to charge better, how to deliver care better. It is going to have an impact. Mike, you go to a physician's assistant, right?
Or yeah, I do. That's my primary care is physician assistant.
Yeah. I've never seen the doctor in my practice.
That's probably just as well. No offense to doctors. Tell us whatever you want to say, please say it. And also include, Jim, what is going to happen on January 2014. Is there a change, or are we just seeing it all now?
Well, a lot of the significant changes, the employer mandates, those have been postponed to 2015.
That's right.
And so a lot of these concerns are in the process of changing. The big one that's going to impact us locally is the insuring of that childless adult through access and making them eligible. The governor, in my opinion, did a bold thing. Contrary to some of the people in her party,
Republicans,
and chose to move forward with expanding and lowering the line for what is defined as poverty to 138% of the poverty level to include those individuals in Arizona, and that's a good thing. Now, the Hospital Association, as you might know, has kicked in dollars to offset that cost at the state level, because getting some level of compensated care, even if it's at 50 cents on the dollar, is better than zero on the dollar. So hospitals have come up with some significant money to offset the costs in Arizona jointly as the association to fund that. And now, I do disagree with you, Steve, a little bit. I believe that a number of individuals in the country will pay more for health care. I believe I will pay more for health care under the Affordable Care Act, because it is, we're insuring more people, and I think as a countrywide thing, that's a good thing. and we're bringing more people in and offering expanded healthcare services. And just economically, that means somebody's going to pay for that somewhat.
Right. You don't think it can all be compensated by the extension of the number of people on insurance? It's like the difference between your local grocery store, independent grocery store, and Walmart. As you increase the number of people being covered, as you increase coverage, the system should get more efficient and should take up some of that. There are going to be winners and losers. No, I would agree with you. If you're a young, healthy male and you never have any problem, personally, you may pay more and you may never even use your insurance. It's when you look at the broader community that we're all a part of, and it doesn't have to be that broad. I mean, you look at your family, look at your grandparents, look at your uncle, look at your aunt who needs insurance. Insurance, if you buy life insurance and you never die, it's a waste of money.
Well, I feel even more than, yeah, and family is great, but I want my waiter to be able to take a day off when he or she is sick. You know what I'm saying? I want my bus driver to stay home when he's dizzy. You know, or my train engineer, or my airline pilot for that matter. I want all of these people to have the best health care there is, and that when they stay home when they're sick. I want my teacher to stay home when he or she is sick.
I want to go one back and just underline one of the things Jim's saying. Maybe he'll underline it for us. And that is, when uncovered people go into the hospital, that's a cost to the hospital. So there's a sort of already a hidden tax on all the medical procedures we get because it all kicks down the line.
Correct. And that's been going on, you know, for decades and decades and decades, of course. And basically the hospital, in order to keep its doors open, hospitals who didn't do this, and we saw, you know, the upsurge of about 30 years ago of for-profit healthcare systems that were running and, you know, doing things at a for-profit basis. So what did that mean? That meant less nurses at the bedside. You know, ratios went from 1-4 up to 1-11. And because they were running the business at a profit. And when you run the business at a profit in healthcare, it does change the dynamic. That's why the nonprofit healthcare system, like what we have in this region, is so important to folks so that they'd be able to keep their doors open. And what they're doing is they're deferring that uncompensated healthcare cost to those who have the ability to pay. It is what the Affordable Care Act will do to a certain degree, but not as significantly, because the person who walks through the door who has means but who is uninsured gets a significantly higher bill than somebody who would have Medicare, for example, and be covered in the Medicare plans.
We're not usually in the practice of sabotaging our guests, which is, oh, that's a good lead-in. But was Northern Arizona Healthcare, the parent, you know, the company that, the organization that runs all our medical centers, that the list that you mentioned, including Sedona and Cottonwood, Verde Valley Medical Center, was it always nonprofit?
Yes. It's always been a 501c3 corporation, a nonprofit entity.
Well, once again, misinformation. That's a good news, and I'm glad it's run that way. So once again, the impact on residents of the Verde Valley and residents of Sedona from affordable health care, other than some people are going to have to pay a little more, and as I'm throwing Jim Ledbetter into this too, as a bunch of liberals who believe that this is a shared thing, and that if we pay more, the result is that more people who need it will get coverage, and that's not such a bad thing.
I understand about 48% of the folks, if you go on the affordable healthcare site, which is finally working pretty well now, if you go on there, remember that there's the charge of the insurance, and then 48% of the people going for individual coverage are going to get a subsidy. So when people talk about how much it costs, be sure that they're calculating in the subsidy and that they understand. They're not going on and saying, this website told me it's going to cost X. You need to go on and check the actual figures, because almost half the people are going to reach a subsidy, and it's based on income.
And the small employer, 50 full-time employees or less, they will get tax credits and tax breaks for going ahead and insuring their folks, and that's of a significant benefit to them as well.
I know that most people that I know, none of the employers really offer any kind of affordable medical insurance. People I work with, you're on your own. There's all these scammy outfits out there offering, or were. I guess they're going to be, they're doomed now. They'll have to do something else to rip people off.
they'll find a way.
Yeah. But, people don't have, like, they don't have pensions, and they don't have medical coverage through the employer. So this will encourage employers to have, to deliver medical coverage, because they will get a subsidy, just like individuals to get will get for buying insurance. The employer will get a subsidy. And it doesn't really affect employers to have less than 50 people, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So if you have 35 people in your company, you're not really affected by the law.
And it's 35 full-time employees.
Yeah. So there's a tremendous amount of misinformation out here, and we've gotten, and the reason we keep doing programs on it, and the reason somebody like Jim's willing to come in and talk to us about it is the plans have so many, it is so complex that it's easy to send out a lot of misinformation. And, so be careful with what you hear. And the same way with the website, I know people now who are going through have gotten insurance just fine through the...
From the first day, by the way.
Yeah. And I know people who recently, well, it was a pain in the ass, but you're buying medical insurance. It's not going to take 15 minutes. You're going to have to look at a whole bunch of different plans, decide which one you want. You have to decide what level of coverage you want. It's a complex thing. So don't approach it like it's going to buy a pair of shoes online or something. It's always, if the website was perfect, it's always going to take some time to go on and figure out what you want. And you do have to think about what you want. What the government has guaranteed is that you can see clearly what the plans actually do, which in the past has not been true.
Yeah, it's true. And then the different colors of plans are still a little bit hard to work through, just as it would be if you were sitting across from an insurance, silver, gold, and there's all of the differences that want to be compared. And for me, anyway, my head explodes in a relatively short time. But one of the things
show some patience, right, Mike, when you go to the website.
Yes. We're going to degenerate to I already congratulate the Republicans on their cognitive dissonance regarding, but how many think, how many meaning the three people here, think it was there a conspiracy to sabotage?
And
not only the website, we're talking about two different things.
Well, let's talk about the website for a minute. And Mike and I were talking about this before
the
program.
This is conspiracy theorists.
And Mike is more conspiracy theory. I work designing websites. I did very, very simple stuff for a very simple client. The clients never understand what you're doing. They cannot see the technology. They cannot see the code you're writing. They can't see any of this stuff. So I think what happened was simply we had a company that had been unable to produce good websites before. They dissolved themselves, rehired themselves under a new name, and they got hired to do this job. If you have a command where you say you have to have this by a date certain, you have to have it function these 25 ways, the people building things say, oh, I can't do it, it's too much, I need more time and I need more money. And the people doing it say, no, you've got to do it right on the mark. If it's Apple and you're Steve Jobs and you've got all these brilliant people, I think we talked about this before, and you say you have to have it in 3 months that you tell me it's going to be 6 months, right, that works as a way of management. When you basically have hired a company that can't deliver,
right,
then all of the stuff that you're trying to do to manage them, if you don't understand in depth what they're doing, just makes things worse.
I want to ask Jim real quick, or not necessarily real quick, but I want to ask you, 2014, two questions, 2014, political impact. You're a politically savvy guy. What is the Affordable Care Act? What is the impact of that going to be in 2014 and 2016, positive, negative, somewhere in between?
Wow, interesting question. And I'm not wearing a hospital hat when I say this.
Yes, right.
I believe the impact of the Affordable Care Act by the end of 2014 folks are going to start getting accustomed to it. And so I think it's going to come to neutral. Right now it's negative. But I think throughout 2014, it starts to come to some level of neutrality, because many of the folks will have the opportunity to have signed up to figure it out, to determine, and we're going to start hearing those stories of success. Right now, they're not there. And, I don't believe there was a conspiracy to tank the website. I agree with what Steve has said. Most websites, many things of this level of complexity in terms of technology and volume, most fail. The Wall Street Journal did an article recently that it's in the 90 percentile of startups for this type of operation, and very few have this level of scale. It should have been anticipated that it would not be as operationally efficient as they would like to have seen from day one.
I come from an era of the internet. Oh, there's problems with the website. Oh my! You know, it's like, you know,
what a shock!
I mean, yeah, we're talking about major corporations and everything. Everybody had problems with their websites. Everybody had dysfunctional things.
And I remember the Sony failures.
I remember Sony myself. I went on Sony. They had dead pages all over the place. Their website basically collapsed. This is Sony.
Wow.
So it's a com, when things are new, see, I think that, Obama had a good management system in place to do things that are regularly done. But there was no system to do something very new. There was no overall highly savvy tech manager managing this. They hate the term, but a czar looking over this one project. Because, you know, you have the Social Security website has been around for a long time and stuff. And you also don't have, you know, it's a failure of his tech people to tell him what's going on all the way up. And so he's left hanging out in the wind, you know, claiming the website's going to work and has no idea what's going to happen. I think
it was a Paul Krugman article that said, watch California. Well, right now, they're signing up 10,000 a day.
So let's go back to what you asked, Jim. And what about 2016? What do you think will happen by then? How do you think it'll affect the next presidential election?
You know, I feel like I'll be jinxed if I answer that, because a couple years ago on this talk show, you guys asked me who will be the next president of the United States. And at that time, it did not look like President Obama would be reelected.
Close to a landslide.
But I told everyone here that this election was a referendum on that president. I believe that this president's legacy and his health care legacy will be, historians will look back and say it was a positive thing. It was a step toward getting healthcare costs and healthcare maintenance under control across the country. That's necessary. When you ask a senior how much is right now in the Medicare Trust Fund, and I do this with students at Mingus High School frequently, I ask them, what is in the Medicare Trust Fund? And I hear answers ranging from $1 trillion to $1 billion to $100s of millions. The answer to that, and if I had a chalkboard in the room or a dry erase board, more appropriately, I age myself, I write a giant zero up there. There is no money in the Medicare Trust Fund, zero, nothing. And as a result, it's important for people to understand that we've got to get health care costs under control on a national level and start moving in that direction.
I think we've said that, Jim, that the medical system and Medicare need a lot more work than something like Social Security that has a fairly easy fix. Any other thoughts on this? I mean, there's all this commotion now. We all live right on the surface of the bubble, but this is a website failure, folks. It's not going to last. They're going to fix it. You're going to be able to go on there within a year and do it. Don't let anybody promise you it's ever going to be like I said earlier, by buying a pair of shoes. You're buying your medical insurance for yourself.
Right.
You're buying it for a family member. And that's never going to be 1, 2, 3, and you're out of there.
Yeah.
Well, and you raise a good point. The Affordable Care Act, bottom line, seniors are better off. It closes the donut hole, gives more preventative care. Children are by far better off because it extends both coverage ages and also extends preventative care to kids. Women are better off. They can't get charged more for insurance any longer. That's historically been true. You can't select out and charge women more. That's gone. So, as a country, overall, I think in a few years we will look back once all the nervousness about change is gone and we'll say, by and large, it was better. Some of us will say we paid more, but everyone will say they got more.
Change is tough, as you alluded to a couple times. And boy, for some countries, this has been ringing. I mean, this is why we have to do something better. Why it's so difficult? It's hard to imagine. But that's our political process, and we have to sort of love it or leave it. I guess would be the. We are almost running out of time here. We want to talk about next week. We have an interesting show.
Diane Post should be talking about private prisons and the whole prison system. I think it's going to be a program. We've talked to Sasha Abramski. has written a new book on hunger in America, I think a week or so ago.
Well,
and now we have another program focused on prisons. Why we have private prisons when private prisons cost more than public
prisons?
Well,
it applies to Arizona because we have six of them, or at least to some degree. We have six companies working in Arizona, according to our
show. I think one of the major churches says you shouldn't profit. You shouldn't have a for-profit corporation that's based on imprisoning people.
And we will talk more about that as the season wears on.
Thanks, Jim Ledbetter, for coming in yet again to Democratic Perspective. You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.